Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Podcast. There is a lot of buzz today about essential oils, and so I asked my guest today to come on to dispel some of the myths about essential oils and how to safely and effectively use them. Before I start, I had a question from you, one of you, that I want to answer. This one is from Lindsay. She says she has very sensitive skin and is concerned about using skincare products containing essential oils. Her question is, how do I know if essential oils are okay to use for my sensitive skin? Lindsay, I know how it is to have sensitive skin. I have sensitive skin too. And my guest today is going to go in depth into how to find the cleanest essential oils and how to use them safely. So I think you'll really enjoy this interview. And I'd like to add that I recommend doing a skin patch test before trying any new skincare products, especially for those of us with sensitive skin. So all you have to do for a skin patch test is to just apply a small amount to the inside of your wrist or the inside of your arm or maybe even the inside of your jawline and wait for 24 hours. Watch for any kind of redness, itching, bumps, any kind of sign that you might be reacting to the product. So what that means is that that particular product that you applied may not be great for your skin. You're having some sort of reaction. That doesn't mean that all the ingredients in there or that essential oils are a problem for you, but whatever the product combination is, or maybe one of the ingredients in there is something you're reacting to. So then you want to try a different product. And again, it doesn't mean you have to give up on essential oils, but that particular product may not be the best for you at this time. So let's getting back to the interview, because I know you all want to know more about essential oils. My guest today is Dr. Eric Zielinski. He's also known as Dr. Z. He is a sought-after health researcher, an educator, author, and motivational speaker. Dr. Z's mission is to provide people with simple, evidence-based tools that they need to experience the abundant life. By hosting online events such as the Essential Oils Revolution and the Heal Your Gut Summit, Dr. Z educates people in natural remedies and empowering life strategies. He lives in Atlanta with his wife and four children. In this interview, we cover top essential oils, the very top, the best essential oils, and how to select essential oils and how to use them safely and effectively for optimal skin health and overall health. So please enjoy this interview with Dr. Z. Dr. Z, Eric, it's so great to have you on my show.
Well, thank you. I'm just so excited just to be on again, and I'm excited to connect soon. We're all going to be together at our crazy fun little conference coming up. Yeah. Love seeing your bubbly face. You're just awesome, Trevor.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. So today we're talking about essential oils. I love talking about essential oils. And, you know, it's so nice that we have a natural alternative to fragrance, because I talk a lot about synthetic fragrance and the harmful ingredients that are in those and the concerns with that. So it's so nice to know that we have essential oils as an alternative to that, but they also have a lot of therapeutic benefits as well. So let's start off by talking about why it seems like essential oils are so popular right now. Why is that?
Well, can I tell you, I give 100% of the credit to network marketing. It's just profound. In the 40s, people don't recognize, but in the 40s, there was a paradigm shift when the antibiotic industry said, hey, we got this little pill that will solve all your problems. So you don't need oregano anymore for infection. You don't need clove. You don't need these other things. Back, folks, back in World War I and World War II, medics had oregano oil in their medic case to help soldiers combat infection. That was what they used. They didn't have antibiotics in the 20s and the 30s, right? And so we've come back full circle. And it was about 20 years ago, and about 10 years ago, and about 5 years ago, kind of these landmarks, 20, 10, 5 years ago, these landmark times that really network marketing said, look, this is the wave of the future. We need to get back to our roots. And so it's really kind of funny. I you know, as a marketing guy anyway, I kind of look at those little aspects of it. But essential oils have been around forever, and it's nice to see them get the credit that they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some of the benefits of essential oils. Share with everybody what you found to be some of the top benefits.
You know, it's wild because about the onset of really when network marketing reached out and said, hey, we have this great product, that's when a lot of research started coming out too. And within the last 15, 20 years, the research has been just mind-blowing. I mean, everything, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, oral health, I mean, every condition you could think of. And a lot of these studies are in vitro. They're, you know, cells in a petri dish. We don't have too many animals, animal or human trials yet in comparison to drugs. But folks, it really is a matter of what do you want to approach in your health? And I kid you not, I could probably figure out a way to use essential oils to help you. And I started, Trevor, I opened up the door. It was crazy. I opened up the door to research and I created this database on my website. And I don't know how many articles we have now, close to 100. Everything. I mean, just most health conditions can be connected to. I guess the bottom line is we have to recognize that the chemical properties of drugs are based off of the chemicals of plants for, by and large, a majority. It's not like chemists. My father-in-law is a chemist. So, you know, I've talked to him about this stuff. It's not like chemists just invent a chemical property in their mind. They're like, okay, let's look at these plants. Let's look at what they, the beneficial aspects of plants, and let's try to make a synthetic version of it. That's how oftentimes drugs are made. Same thing with the lotions and the potions that people buy at the store. So I love essential oils as just a non-toxic solution to skincare, to healthcare, and you name it, emotions, mental balance. It's just, it's like you're a kid in a candy store when it comes to essential oils, and it's just a matter of using them wisely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you've done some research on the skin microbiome, and you were just on a summit recently talking about that. Let's talk about that, because that's something I talk about a lot, and I love talking about the skin microbiome. I think it's so important to talk about those microorganisms that live on our skin and protect our skin from breaking out and acne and eczema and premature aging and all that. A lot of people talk about the gut microbiome these days, but yeah, you know, the skin microbiome is also really important, especially with people that have chronic skin issues and that, you know, want to age gracefully.
So in a sense, I think it's important to put things into perspective. You know, Trevor, I'm looking at a beautiful woman that is one human cell for every 10 bacterial cell right now. And that's wild. When you look at each other, when we look at people, we're just not human cells. And we seem to forget that we live in symbiosis with an environment that is way outside beyond our ability to even comprehend just how vast it is. And the reality is our skin houses trillions of microorganisms. And a lot of them are helpful. Some of them are harmful, but they all work together to protect us in a way where we need to maximize that efficiency. Because folks, your skin is the first barrier in your immune system. It's the first line of defense. It's like the front lines of an army. Right? And so if your skin has any cut, any abrasion, if it's damaged, if it's overly dry, then your body's going to be susceptible to disease. And there's interesting when you look at the skin, how absorbent it is. It can literally, studies have shown, absorb up to 60% of the chemicals in the products that we put on our skin. And the funny thing is, not funny, I guess, it's really kind of shocking. It's funny when you think about how effective they are, but there have been studies showing that essential oil massage lotion applied on the human skin, within 5 minutes, the chemical properties of the oil actually has been detected in the blood. Within 20 minutes, full content of maximum exposure of the chemical properties of the essential oils are in the blood. And within 4 hours, they're gone. And that's interesting because it all starts in the skin, and essential oils and various carrier oils are transdermal. They penetrate to the cellular level, but it's all about maximizing that healthy benefit that we have in the immune system. Because if the immune system, AKA the skin, is damaged, then we're going to be susceptible to all sorts of things, not just breakouts of acne, eczema, psoriasis. No, I'm talking like literal disease. And that's where a lot of folks need to make that logical leap and to recognize, oh, wow, if a chemical can absorb into my skin, what through my skin to my bloodstream, what does that mean? I mean, folks, that could cause oxidative stress, that could lead to heart disease, that could lead to atherosclerosis. We're talking diabetes. It's just, you name it. And so I think it's very important to recognize we need to stay in balance. We need to stay in harmony, minimize as much as possible these toxic skincare products. I mean, I hold them responsible. Research suggests for everything. For a main cause of the cancer that we develop in our society, autism, ADD, neurocognitive disorders like Alzheimer's, dementia, and it's just shocking. So I'm just a big proponent of do it yourself. And for those people who don't all the time or the energy, find a good skincare line. Trevor, you have a great one because, you know, some people just don't want to do it, but we need to do something better than what we have on the store's shelves because they're literally killing us.
Yeah, it's so true. And if you think about the combination of things that we're exposed to, in addition to the personal care products, we get things in our air and our water and our food. And so the personal care products are just, you know, it's in addition to that. We want to look at all of these things, but we don't want to ignore it. I think a lot of times people put stuff on their skin, they don't really think about it because they just think it sits on the surface and they just put it on mindlessly. And a part of that is just what we're used to and marketing and all of that. But hopefully we can make our small little change and help help more people understand that it is important. It's an important part of your lifestyle, right?
Oh, okay. A confession of Dr. Z, confession of aromatherapist here. Up until like 3 years ago, I was using hand sanitizer like a fiend. I bought the lie. I drank the Kool-Aid. I'm like, man, we live in this toxic environment. There's bacteria, bad stuff everywhere. I got like, I mean, you know, my kids had the hand sanitizer on their lunchbox, you know, lunch buckets, and I had them in my car and everywhere I went. And everywhere you go, gas station, the store, whatever, at the gym, there's a little big jug of hand sanitizer. It's like, man. And then I was doing this faithfully until I started doing research on it, Trevor. And I recognized that one of the main components of hand sanitizer is triclosan, aka a registered pesticide since 1969, completely annihilates your skin microbiome, dries the skin, creates a toxic effect on the body. And now we're linking that again to neurocognitive disorders like Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer. And so I stopped. And I was very radical, like literally just a couple weeks after I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, Bath & Body Works. I'm that guy, folks. I'm that husband that once a year I buy my wife like $1,000 worth of gifts. I put it in a big box in my closet and every like birthday, anniversary, I just take some stuff out. So, you know, the semi-annual sale Vicky Secret and Bath & Body Works has every January, I would go and buy a ton of stuff. And I bought my wife like 20 little hand sanitizers and a bunch of lotions. And I'm like, I just bought hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. I just realized that it's toxic. It's bad for us. I'm throwing everything away. I got really radical about it. But, you know, I say that to say this. Pick the low-hanging fruit. It was really easy for me to throw away stuff that I just bought. And yeah, I wasted some money, I guess. But at the same time, it was empowering to recognize that, you know what, I can make these changes. And the easiest thing for me to do was to throw away my hand sanitizer. It was super easy, super effective. Anyone can do that today. And folks, I can't even begin to stress to you, hand sanitizer is public enemy number one. It really is a public health risk. You know what a great solution is? Get a little spritzer bottle, like a 1 ounce spritzer bottle of essential oils. Fill it with a few drops of witch hazel, about 5-7 drops of essential oil, and water. And you could have your own DIY hand sanitizer. Just again, a spritzer bottle, water, essential oils, and witch hazel. And that's it. That right there is a solution.
That's great. And so which essential oils are you recommending for that?
Oh, any. I mean, really, virtually any. Most essential oils, like by and large, are all antimicrobial. Most is what we could see in the research have what's known as cell selectivity. They don't target the good cells. They target the bad cells, which is pretty wild. I mean, just think the innate intelligence plant nature nature and medicine has is unreal. So I say use whatever it is that you want to accomplish. I mean, for us, during the summer months, we like to be, something maybe refreshing, like a peppermint is really nice and cooling. During the winter months, we like maybe something a little more upbeat because where we live, it gets a little darker. Citrus oils are great. You could just have fun, play. I mean, lavender, if you want to spray something at night to help you calm down. If you're at work and if you need, you know, something to help you focus, vetiver, frankincense is good. So you use whatever oils or blends that it is that you want to really accomplish the effect. And the same thing with lotion, the same thing with your diffuser blends. It's like whatever you're trying to accomplish, there are dozens and dozens of varieties of oils that you could use to accomplish that.
So if people are, and I love that, and I think it plays into that, you know, we were talking about skin microbiome, and essential oils are so beneficial and helping with that balance, like you were saying. So just if you could touch it just to like really help solidify the connection between the skin microbiome and essential oils, can you just like talk about that just a moment?
Yeah, the skin microbiome is being destroyed, particularly by the toxic chemicals that we're putting on our skin. And that's well-intentioned people, the lotions, the potions, the hand sanitizers. By using safe products or by doing it yourself, you then reduce that risk of annihilating the skin microbiome. Also, we find that essential oil-based products help nourish the skin, help promote healthy bacterial balance, and help solidify the microbiome so your body will be protected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, perfect. So Nin, I wanted to ask you, if people are new to essential oils and they want to go out and they want to buy maybe a couple, what are the best ones to start with? You mentioned peppermint and frankincense, lavender. Would those be the ones that you, or in a citrus?
You know, there are several, I go through my favorites and I find that there are several oils that really are ubiquitous. You could use them for virtually anything. You're never going to go wrong with the citrus oil. I mean, lemon and orange, I love. Bergamot is fantastic. Bergamot oil, we're finding more and more research regarding that. That's like a sleeping giant. A lot of folks don't recognize the power that has, even with pain, elevating mood. Peppermint is great. Clove is so antibacterial, so healing, especially for the mouth. So I guess for me, it's like I would create like a kit. And I love clove for oral health. I love citrus oils for mood balancing, peppermint for energy, and also for pain. And you have just, you name it. It just all depends on whether or not you're trying to approach a fungal infection. You have tea tree as the prototypical one. There's so many different ones. Lavender, of course, for sleep and calm. If you can get your hands on it, some good chamomile. And that's becoming more of a problem, Trevor, unfortunately, is consumerism. We are literally causing certain plants to become extinct, and it's getting hard to find good quality oils anymore. So I want to cautious people too. Don't go to Walmart. Walmart literally sells oils now. I mean, you can get like a cheap $10 starter kit. It's wild. Don't go to Walmart to get your essential oils. You want to get a pure therapeutic grade essential oil that is safe for internal use. Because if it's not safe for internal use, you shouldn't be putting it on your skin. And that's the other thing. If you're not willing to eat your skincare, you probably shouldn't be putting it on your skin. I mean, because again, it gets into your body. Not that I'm going to go squirt, you know, the stuff in my mouth. However, it's just the reality is we need to put things into perspective. And there are good ways of finding good quality brands.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how do you find the high quality brand and how do you choose that?
Well, I like to answer that by kind of a roundabout way in saying there is no number one brand. And that's super important. If you go on the internet, you'll see number one, I love them. They're the only one. No, it's marketing. It's bias. It's well-intentioned people who literally have a great testimony. And I'll say this in their defense. And again, it goes back to network marketing. There are a lot of people that have miracle stories, right? I mean, we're talking people apply frankincense over an incurable brain tumor on the back of their skull and their brain tumor goes away. And the doctor's like, what happened? Well, of course, that oil is, you know, infallible, and that's the best quality just got healed of an incurable brain tumor. And that's the kind of mindset we have, is there are so many miracle stories out there. People are just attracting to their brand. So I want to encourage you all, folks, there are a lot of good brands, actually several. My wife and I use several therapeutic grade essential oils. And the thing is, you got to find what it works for you. And that's interesting because, you know, Dr. Trevor, you're a naturopathic doctor. You practice your medicine, right? A medical doctor practices that. As a chiropractor, I was trained to practice chiropractic. People need to learn how to practice natural health care. And that means practicing essential oils. So what does that mean? Literally, I would suggest if you're really interested in getting involved with essential oils, to write an article on like step-by-step on how to really find one. But I'll go online. I would talk to some friends and family, get a good referral first and foremost. You can't go wrong with a good referral, in my opinion, from a trusted family member who isn't trying to sell you something, and then ask. And then maybe narrow it down to like three brands, do some preliminary research online, and be careful. But I want to point out, recognize there's going to be hate speech and love speech. But if you go search XYZ brand and on Amazon, there's 0 out of 5 stars and 1,000 people voted, well, that's a good sign. That's something to stay away from. And I say that because there are certain brands that are just way out there that shouldn't even be selling product, because the statistic is 75% of all oils on the market are adulterated, which means they're either fake or they're cut, diluted with a carrier oil, which essentially means you're just wasting your money and it's not pure and not therapeutic. So there are, again, several. And once you narrow it down to a few, I would contact them. I would ask them for a report, whether or not they have an analysis of their oils. How do they source their oils? Find out, how do they purify their oils? How do they maintain quality standards? And any good company worth their weight in salt will have all that information readily available. Their customer support, if it's not already on the internet, their customer support should be able to just send you a quick email. It's a little work. And I suggest taking it as work, folks, because I kid you not, people are utilizing essential oils to replace their pharmaceutical interventions. It's literally medicine for people. And as I hope you're interviewing your doctor, and as I hope you're taking really good care in who your healthcare provider is and not just going to whoever it is just because they're in your insurance program, you need to take that much care when it comes to utilizing supplements, essential oils, because this stuff's getting into your body. And once you narrow it down to a couple, try some. And I know it's a couple dollars, but buy. I would recommend, because they're relatively cost effective and they're good overall, is lemon, lavender, and peppermint. Buy lemon, lavender, peppermint from like three brands and try them, smell them, experience them. If you open up the bottle and immediately gets a headache, well, that might be a sign that that particular brand uses a particular species of peppermint that your body doesn't respond well to. That's what I mean by practicing essential oils. And maybe you'll smell a bottle of lavender and you'll just like fall asleep immediately. You'll find your peaceful heavenly resting place and you'll be like, whoa, this is my Zen moment. That's a place where you might want to buy your lavender from. Apply them on your skin diluted. Never apply it topically undiluted. That could cause a sensitization reaction, like an allergic response. So get a few drops of coconut oil, get one drop of, let's say, lavender, lemon, or peppermint, apply it on the bottoms of your feet or on your wrist, behind your knee, on some of the pressure points of your body, the trigger points, and see how your body responds. I mean, really, if you break out into a rash, that's not a good sign. You don't want to use that oil ever again. And so we need to somewhat be living experiments. And once you find that, and then you can really start diving deep and start buying other different oils and blends within that brand. And then the bottom line is this, folks, you got to trust. There has to be a level of trust. Like the companies we buy from, we trust them. And I know no one's perfect, but the reality is we trust that they're doing their best and they give us some high quality oils. And if we have a minute, we could talk a little about organic, non-organic. Do we have a minute? Because I think that's kind of important too.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. That was one of my questions I wanted to ask you about.
Okay. This is tough because it's really tough because organic is good, but it's no guarantee. And in 2014 in Rome, there was a conference. Aromatherapists, researchers, scientists from all over the world gathered together. And one of the main points of this conference was to talk about contamination. And there was a research study that, and I don't have the data available, but I'll just paraphrase. Forgive me if I misquote, but you'll get the bottom line. They tested several different oils, organic oils, for pesticide contaminants. And virtually every oil they tested had pesticides in it. And some had more. The citrus oils had more than non-citrus oils. And the reason is because just because a farm is organic doesn't mean that the farm next to it is organic. And unfortunately, Monsanto is everywhere, and there's cross-contamination, there's drift wind, there's runoff of water, there's pollination, there's bees, there's foxes, and everything else you think about that makes things move in the air and pollinate. And the reality is it's virtually impossible to find a pure, virtually anything anymore, but a pure oil. And interestingly enough, because oils are lipids, right? They're fats. The fat soluble pesticides really attract to the plant, and you can't extract that out. So regardless of how good your quality of your distillation procedure is. Now, citrus are even more effective because of the rind. And there's a chemical a process, really essentially like emulsification, that the pesticide just gets trapped and there's no way of getting it out. But at the end of the day, organic is best-er, or I should say better, but it's not a guarantee. And I think that's important to put into perspective. To me, the best thing is something that's indigenously grown. And I do know this for certain, the chemical constituency of a plant that's naturally grown in its native environment far out surpasses any plant that's not native. And that's important because a lot of companies sell oils that, like, say they have a great organic farm in Missouri. Well, I'd rather get the legit plant from, let's say, lavender in France, vetiver from Haiti, you know, eucalyptus from Australia. I'd rather get that than some farm in America, because at least the chemical compounds are going to be more powerful. But at the end of the day, it just puts things into perspective. There is no such thing as an only pure, everything has some sort of contamination to it. And I think that's important to remember, because just don't drink the Kool-Aid out there, because you get a lot of different, because again, Trevor, this is a $1 billion industry and millions of people are using essential oils like out of nowhere. And so you hear a lot of different stuff on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, great points. I love all of this. And let's talk a bit more about essential oil safety, because I know some people are afraid to use essential oils because of safety concerns. So I think if we just talk about how to use them safely, you mentioned a few things like diluting oils. I mean, and I think that there's some that you have to dilute even more, right? Like tea tree oil is so strong that, you know, I usually recommend like a 5% dilution on those. Is that what you recommend the others? So let's talk about some of these safety issues.
Yeah, it's really just a matter of using, I got to say, common sense to a lot of an extent. You know, a friend of mine, I don't know what he was thinking, but bless his heart, he actually put a drop of tea tree in his eye after he developed pink eye. He read online that tea tree is antibacterial. He had a bacterial infection in his eye, put a drop of tea tree. Imagine what happened to him. If, by the way, that happens to you, you shouldn't go blind. Just get some coconut oil or olive oil to dilute it. That's the kind of stuff that we see out there. We're seeing injury reports. We're seeing parents, well-intentioned parents, who are putting, you know, 5, 6, 7 drops of undiluted oils over their baby's skin, and their skin is erupting and rashes or burns and things like that. Common sense be your guide. And the reason I mean common sense is, as much as we say essential oils are plant-based medicine, they're not really natural in the sense where you're not going to go hiking and find a pool of citrus oils anywhere. You know what I mean? They need to be one bottle of lemon, like this bottle. There's like 42 rinds of a lemon in here. So how natural is that? Meaning it's concentrated. It's like your concentrated juice. And so we got to put things into perspective. What the ancients used, they didn't have this. They didn't have this, folks. And when we see stories in the Bible, let's say, I hear this all the time. Oh, well, Jesus was given gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He wasn't given this, everybody. He was given frankincense or resin, right? And when God told Moses to create the anointing oil, and he said, put calamus and cinnamon and cassia in a vat of olive oil. Well, that was an extract. And that was so highly diluted minimal amount of essential oil in this beautiful ointment, it still offered the healing benefits. And that's the key. Less is more. And we always need to dilute, because this right here is, it's very volatile, and it could be caustic too. And so always dilute. Don't be afraid of anything, because there's no fear if done properly. We could use a diffuser. I love these steam distillation diffusers, you know, 4 or 5 drops, a little bit like a Dixie cup worth of water. What is it, like 100 mils of water? That's great to smell throughout. Internal, I don't recommend. And sometimes I do. I mean, sometimes I'll put just a straight drop of peppermint in my mouth, but I know what to do and what not to do. I know, because I overdid it. I actually developed a little bit of reflux because I put too much in. And I realized, you know, this is not good. And unfortunately, there is no research to state what a good dose is and what isn't. But, you know, Trevor, I love some Perrier, some sparkling water, a couple drops of stevia, and 1 drop of lemon. Like, that's my 7-Up. I haven't had soda in like 15 years, right? So that's my version of soda pop. I love that, but that's safe. That's diluted, and that's fine. But when you start putting 2-3 drops in your mouth, I start to caution folks, because, you know, your esophagus is very sensitive, and people can get esophageal irritation that can actually cause reflux, cause GI issues just because they're doing too much of anything. If you're taking them internally, again, 1 drop of like lemon, orange should be fine. If you want to put in some water to flavor your water, if you want to use it for more therapeutic, if you're using a capsule, limit your oils to maybe 2, 3, possibly 4 drops in a capsule. That's it. Don't listen to these crazy morphine bomb recipes on Pinterest. I'm talking, people recommend 20 drops or something in a capsule. That's a lot of oil. And that actually produces that it can actually put a burden on your kidneys. People don't recognize that too. Is like, you know, what happens? These things still have to be metabolized, right? And so we don't want to overdo it. But again, if you want 4 drops of essential oil, eat a whole lemon. And I want to put that in perspective, because I love my Vitamixer and I love making my green smoothies. I'll put literally a whole lemon in my whole with the rind. I love it. And I get from a whole lemon, I get roughly about what? About 4 drops of essential oil. So that lets me know too that essential oils are safe, especially if they're diluted and if they're done in propriety. And also to put things into perspective, last of all, anything you taste has an essential oil in it. It's either fake or real. So your peppermint mint patty, your lemon bars, whatever it is you're buying at the store, it's flavored. And most natural flavorings, according to the FDA, are oil-based. If they're natural flavorings, if they're synthetic, God knows what it is, really. It's just a synthetic version of what the essential oil is. So just some basic high-level overviews. But yeah, you could go into 1% dilution, 2%. You know, aromatherapists typically recommend 2%. So 2% of, let's say, what is it? Let's say like of an ounce, 2% of an ounce, which would be roughly like, what is that? 12 drops. So 12 drops per ounce, that's typically like a carrier. So if of a coconut or jojoba or almond, you would put, let's say, 10 to 12 drops of essential oil, and that'd be a roughly like a 2% safe mixture. That seems to be the aromatherapy standard. 1% for babies. If you want to use more of a therapeutic grade, like Trevor, you mentioned, go up to 5, and then you could go from there. But it's very interesting. And so again, when it comes to, I have all the conversions on my website, because I know it could get confusing, but you have roughly like 600 drops in an ounce. So 1% of that would be 6 drops, 2% would be 12 drops. You recommended 5%, that'd be 30 drops in an ounce. So that's kind of how we do things in the aromatherapy world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that was what the research talks about with treating acne, for example, with tea tree oil. They recommend that the studies were done on 5%. So that's what I usually recommend for, you know, like you said, therapeutic. Yeah. Okay, great. And I do want to just, you mentioned bergamot, and I love bergamot. I actually, it's in my skincare line. It's been part of our essential oil blend. And I love bergamot. And what I learned about it though, is you have to be careful with sun sensitivity. So, ours is modified so that people can go in the sun. There's not the issues with sun sensitivity, but I just wanted to, point that out. See if you wanted to say anything about that with citrus oils and the concerns about photosensitivity.
Yeah, that's good. And I wonder if I could pull it up really quick. Man, oh man, I've done so much of the research. I haven't put everything in the memory yet. There are, It's in a nutshell, not every citrus oil sensitizes the skin. So essentially what that means, folks, is if you were to create, let's say, a 2% diluted lotion, with coconut oil, some shea butter and bergamot, right? You apply that on your skin. This isn't therapeutic. This is for lotion to smell good. If you go out into the sun for literally like up to 12 hours, that bergamot oil can cause your skin to essentially get sunburned easier. It's called, you know, it could cause a sensitization. Phototoxicity is what the technical term is. But the reality is that not all of them do that. And a lot of the CO2 extracts don't do that. Citrus, and I got a list, and I'm sorry, I'll give it to you later because it's really important to recognize not all of them are like that, because we use oils on a regular basis. And typically I find orange and lemon I do very well with. Plus I have relatively nice pigmentation, and so I don't get burnt much anyway. But for people that have fair skin, it essentially just, it's like going into a sun tanning salon for some people. And so I don't want to over scare people and say, oh, you can never use citrus oils in the sun. I do it every day. But there are certain ones that are, again, a little more. But you know what's funny, Trevor? I actually did that accidentally. I put some bergamot on my skin, and I actually just got like a little, like it was like a round white spot, like out of nowhere. And it didn't hurt, but I realized, ooh, that is what that was. It caused a phototoxic effect, you know. Temporarily damaged some part of my skin, but it wasn't like I didn't burn. You know what I mean? It wasn't I didn't have to go. It wasn't a third degree burn or anything crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it's just being smart about it. And it sounds like there's some that you can still use and go out in the sun. And then I also oftentimes will tell people they're doing do it yourself skincare with citrus, that do it like it in the evening and when you're not going out in the sun, and then just give yourself 12 hours or longer. Or if you know you're getting ready to go and spend, you know, a day at the beach or something, maybe not use the citrus right around that time, just to be smart about it. And then, you know, Eric, I'll share with everybody when you have it, the specific oils that want to be careful with and which ones are okay. Yeah. Do you have that on your website? Can we just give a link to people, or how do you want to share that?
Yeah, I actually have a citrus article. I mean, I have a database with just tons of different articles on it, but yeah, on drericz.com, if you go to the essential oil database, it will be in the citrus article. And, yep, it's right there. Citrus oils, what's it called, for weight loss, stress relief, and much more, you know? So there's a lot that people could do with grapefruit and applying, like, you know, grapefruit wraps around their body. I mean, my wife actually used that when she was competing for the Mrs. Georgia pageant last year, like whipped up cellulite on the back of her thighs. It was like unbelievable what happened to her. And, but yeah, there's a lot you could do with essential oils. It's fun.
Yeah. And I, you know, essential oils are, like you said, they're so potent and we need to be careful with them. But when we use them properly, they are such a great alternative to, you know, first line of, you know, going straight for the antibiotic or straight, you know, of course we, you know, drugs are fine when we need them. Pharmaceutical drugs are great when we need them, but using these kinds of things, natural therapies first, is always great. And then having that available in skincare products and personal care products, it's fantastic for so many different reasons, because it smells good. And it's, you know, like you said, antimicrobial, and many are anti-inflammatory and so many great properties in that. So I love that we're talking about this today. And I know people probably want to learn more. So you've got an upcoming summit on essential oils. This is your third one, right? So tell everybody about your summit.
Well, I'm just most excited that you're featured in that summit. I mean, finally, was able to track you down and get you featured with other 39 other essential oil experts. And I'm super proud of this event, because it's the largest and only non-branded event where you're just not going to be sold in oil. And that's, folks, one of the reasons why I did what I did was because, just as a natural health enthusiast, I started looking into essential oils a few years ago, and I realized it was virtually impossible to find unbiased information out there. And it's not a bad thing. I get that. But as a public health researcher, there's a point when, you know what, I'd rather get my information from someone who isn't trying to sell something. It's not, again, not like that's a bad thing, but I don't sell essential oils like at all. And I don't even recommend a brand on purpose, because I just provide education. And so this event is the same thing, where we have bloggers, distributors, chemists, doctors, We have all sorts of folks, aromatherapists talking in a non-branded way, and we cover everything. So Dr. Trevor, you did a great job talking about skincare and your favorite essential oils, and a lot of our favorite friends that we spend time with are on as well. All kinds of different health conditions we discuss, how to use them at home. You know, there's a really heavy day that I want to encourage people to take advantage of. Heavy meaning we talk about grief, we talk about suicide, we talk about how aromatherapy can help in all of those ways. There's a lot that we're doing. And I'm most proud that a significant portion of the proceeds is going to go to an organization called Humanitios is an aromatherapy group that works with sex trafficking victims. And I didn't realize this, but they're based out of Utah. I thought Atlanta was, where I live, was the sex trafficking capital of the world, man. But Utah, I didn't realize the amount of women that are sold into slavery every night, young girls and women. And these people, these precious souls. I mean, you got to listen to the interview. Just listen to Carrie Shane talk, what she's doing, how she's ministering and helping these precious people, because they don't even have basic toiletries, Trevor. Their lives are being threatened. Their families, their pets are being threatened. And they go to these little secret aromatherapy safe houses and they get treatments and they get tampons and they get whatever it is that they need. Even like a lavender massage for 15 minutes can just give someone just a breath of fresh air and hope and help them, and also help them to keep them as healthy as possible as they break through from this slavery. So that's a huge component of what we're doing with the Essential Oils Revolution. It's just more than education. And that's it. So again, thank you for being part of it, Trevor. Your talk was awesome, and all kinds of other folks are going to just enjoy it as well. I know.
Great. All right. And we'll have all the information, the link to the summit and all the information about that up on my website. And I'm so excited for people to attend your summit. I think it's going to be fantastic. And I can't wait to watch the interviews too, because I only know one of them so far. So. That's great. Okay. Thanks so much, Eric, for being on today and for all the information you've shared. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks so much for having me. I love all that you're doing, Trevor. Well done.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Z. To learn more about Dr. Z, his upcoming Essential Oil Summit, you can visit my website, thespadoctor.com. Go to the podcast page with his interview, and you'll see all the links and information there. And while you're there, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community on my website or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. If you haven't done so already, I highly recommend that you get your customized skin profile at theskinquiz.com. It's free. Based upon the answers to just a few questions, you'll get great tips for glowing skin and vibrant health. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, don't miss out on the latest tips for glowing skin and vibrant health from the inside and out. Be sure to follow me on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, and Instagram, and join the conversation. Thank you, and I'll see you next time.